Call from mom. Answer it. Call silenced.
Instacart knows nothing gets between you and the game. That's why they make ordering from your couch easy. Stock up today and get all your groceries for the week delivered in as fast as 30 minutes without missing a minute of the game.
You have 47 new voicemails.
Download the app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
John Krasinski. John's an old friend of mine, colleague now. He's a longtime AP writer in Minneapolis. I've known him a long time. We've shared many a beer together on the road. John, what's going on, buddy?
Jason Lloyd, what's happening, brother?
We're cold. We're cold in Cleveland.
Oh, you're cold.
Well, John's a lot colder, man. And John, I lived in Minneapolis for a year when I was with the Vikings, so I know about those winters, or at least the one winter I was there.
We got a foot of snow coming our way that just started about an hour ago, and yesterday it was 7 below, and today we're not going to get much above freezing, so I have no sympathy for
you guys. I love that it's snow
there.
Here, but it's snow there.
Snow. That's exactly right.
You know the best part about Minneapolis? You don't ever have to go outside if you don't want to in downtown Minneapolis. Everything is connected. Yeah. Every building is connected.
So I don't know why people complain when they come here. It's totally fine. You can wear a t-shirt and shorts if you wanted to and just walk through the skyways and be just fine.
John, I know I lived in Chaska when I was there, and my neighborhood literally, like everyone, when they got a foot of snow, they didn't drive cars. They got the snowmobiles out. Do you have a snowmobile?
I don't have one, there's been a couple of times this year where we've seen snowmobiles, and then we had an ice storm, and as you know, Dustin, it's hockey's big up here, and so kids were just strapping on their skates and literally skating on the streets. We get adventurous and a little inventive when we have to for transportation around here.
That's awesome.
Yeah, love it.
John, let's talk about Kevin Stefanski. I've pointed out, and I got clobbered for it a couple times, but the last two coaching searches, only one team bothered to interview Kevin Stefanski, and it's the team that can never get a coaching search right. So what do the Browns see? You know Kevin better than we do. What have the Browns identified in Kevin Stefanski that the rest of the NFL hasn't figured out yet?
Yeah, look, the interesting thing with him is he has certainly kind of had to grind, and he's been really in the shadows all the way up. And I think one thing that probably has kept him a little bit on the back burner for in terms of hot young coaches that you see kind of come up through the ranks is he's been in one place for his entire coaching life in the professionals. I mean, he entered the Vikings franchise as an office assistant to Brad Childress way back in the day. And then parlayed that into like an internship with coaching, and just slowly but steadily worked his way up. And he has kind of stayed around through three different head coaches, which, as you guys know, it's a lot of times when new coaches come in, they clean house on the assistants and they bring in their own guys. Kevin Stefanski has survived all of that. And one of the reasons is that he is, For as young as he is and as analytically inclined as he is and as forward thinking and all those buzzwords that we think about when we think about a 37, 38 year old coach in this league, he is also just kind of a tried and true coach's coach. I mean, he's a no nonsense dude. He is all about discipline, attention to detail. He's not big on, you know, joking around and yucking it up. I think that's why so many just dyed in the wool coaches and even the old school guys like Mike Zimmer, like Kevin Stefanski, is because he combines a little bit of the new age approach and the openness to new ideas and new ways of doing things. But also he's just, at his core, a no nonsense dude that wants people to get to work on time, that wants them to put in the work in the film room and be prepared when they go out and take the field. So he's got a little bit of the best of both worlds in that regard.
How much of an influence, John, has Kubiak had on him?
Yeah, a lot. Even before Gary came here and really had a role in implementing this new offensive approach that the Vikings put together this season, Kevin Stefanski had known Gary before. He'd known Clint Kubiak, who he had coached with before. And so I do think that there was sort of a they just had a simpatico from the beginning. And there's no question that Kevin Stefanski leaned on Gary Kubiak a lot in his season as offensive coordinator, just in terms of picking the brain of a guy who's been an offensive coordinator, who's been a head coach in this league, who knows how to get through to players, who knows what works and what doesn't. And Kevin is very much a student of the coaching game. And so he really tried to be a sponge with Gary Kubiak and to really listen to what he thought would work and what wouldn't. And he also knew that Gary Kubiak and Mike Zimmer saw eye to eye a lot. And so I think that part of it was Mike Zimmer kind of got rid of the old offensive coordinator because they didn't see eye to eye. Kevin Stefanski knew that Mike Zimmer wanted a certain approach, also knew that Gary Kubiak brought in a certain approach. And so I think he kind of tailored a little bit of his system and his philosophy to what Gary Kubiak and Mike Zimmer brought to the table. So the interesting thing for me to watch as he starts to take hold of that Cleveland Browns organization is how much of what he brings is exactly that Kubiak zone read approach, zone blocking approach, and how much is he going to kind of deviate that into maybe some of his own individual ideas for Baker Mayfield and Odell Beckham and a lot of those guys.
You're leading me right where I was going next. Regardless of the schemes that he brings, what personnel do you think he's going to bring from Minneapolis, if anyone? Who's he going to take with him?
Well, there's certainly some coaches that he gets along with well, that I think could absolutely follow him to Cleveland. When you look at it personnel-wise in terms of players and that sort of thing, the Vikings have a lot of guys under contract, especially offensively, and I don't think you want him bringing any of his offensive linemen out there because they're not very good.
But what about Gary Kubiak? Is there any chance he would join him in Cleveland? Would he leave Minneapolis?
I would be surprised if Gary Kubiak went with, because I think there is a lot of speculation on who Mike Zimmer is going to elevate to offensive coordinator here, and he wants to stay in-house. And Clint Kubiak is a hot candidate for that job. And so I think, Gary Kubiak and Mike Zimmer have a great relationship. And so I could see Gary staying here with his son, working in that regard. I mean, I can't rule it out. I can't rule it out that he would follow Kevin Stefanski to Cleveland, but I think I would be a little bit surprised. I would imagine that he stays on here in some capacity to work with his son and work with Mike Zimmer.
What about Payton, the potential GM candidate who has apparently not got an interview here with Cleveland? Does he not want one? Does he think he's got a better chance there or somewhere else? Or what's the latest there?
Well, George Payton is super well thought of internally here as Rick Spielman's right-hand man in the front office. And he has had several opportunities over the past couple of seasons to interview for other GM positions, including the New York Jets last year. And he has turned down most of them to this point. He wants to be very selective. He has a really good situation here with Minnesota. The Wilf family that owns the team is very much trying to kind of follow a Rooney family path of stability. And so I think, that he's been very selective in what he wants to do in terms of who he interviews with. He's really well thought of here. He's had a lot of options that he's turned down in the past couple of years, including the New York Jets. He wants several things when it comes to a front office role. One, he wants autonomy and the authority to make decisions. Two, he wants a head coach that he really believes in and can work with. And three, he wants an ownership group that he can rely on, that he thinks will give him a long leash to implement what he wants to do from a front office perspective. He knows he has that here in Minnesota. He knows he has fairly good job security, and that's hard to come by in the league. If he does eventually turn down Cleveland, and I don't know that he has yet, I would imagine it would be concerns over the ownership structure, over how volatile it's been there over the last few years. He and Kevin Stefanski get along really well. I think they would be a great pairing if you could put those two together. But I know that George is very selective and wants the first job that he leaves here for to be a very good one. And I don't know that you can say that about the Browns right now.
Hey, John, last thing real quick in about 30 seconds. Are you surprised Kevin took this job?
Slightly, yeah. I mean, you know, look, he interviewed there last year, and I know he thought he had the job sewn up. And so so when it went to Freddie, I think it took him aback a little bit. But they came back around. I think what it ultimately speaks to is two things. One is there's only 32 of these jobs. They don't come around very often. So you kind of jump at them when they present themselves. But two, sure. I also know that he really likes the personnel that he has there. Baker Mayfield, Nick Chubb, Odell Beckham, Jarvis Landry, a lot of weapons to work with from an offensive standpoint. And so it's attractive that way. He knows that he's walking into a volatile situation and maybe a little bit of a snake pit. And so he's got his work cut out for him for sure.
He's John Krasinski. He's a good friend of mine. He's an excellent reporter in Minneapolis. He wrote a terrific story on Kevin Stefanski in September. Go find it. John, thanks so much for the time.
Hey, thanks, guys. Thanks for having me.
We get it. Attention spans just aren't what they used to be. Heads in social media and eyes on Netflix. But what do people do with their ears? Well, for one, they're listening to audio. Americans spend 4.4 hours with audio every day. Oh, and you want the proof? Well, you just sat through this ad that's now approaching 30 seconds. What could you say to a potential customer in 30 seconds? Let Odyssey put together a media plan tailor-made for your unique marketing needs. Advertise with Odyssey. Visit ads.odyssey.com.